To that land,
morning, everybody. Please be seated. Welcome, everybody, to worship today, and to any who are visiting with us, we extend an especially warm welcome. I have to be on my best behavior. My former boss is here this morning, so I have to do well, but I do hope that you all will enter fully into worship today. As you came into the church, there was a leaflet with some announcements about upcoming activities, and I encourage you to pick up one of those leaflets and participate in the things that are upcoming. Next Sunday, February the 12th, is going to be a special celebration of love. We're encouraging you to bring someone you love to church and to worship God together and enjoy the music and the preaching that's going to be a part of that service. Also, a reminder to everyone that following the service today will be our annual meeting in the parish hall, so encourage you to stay and a light lunch will be provided. You know, Ken and I have been with you on an interim basis for just a little bit more than a month, and we're loving it. I love being with you. I find this so life-giving, and I hope that you're finding that as we worship together and as we engage in the various activities that are part of the life of the church, that you experience that life-giving spirit as well. So thank you. Let's stand as we continue to worship God together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of our Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Merciful Lord, grant to your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated.
A reading from the book of 1 Corinthians. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of the one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot were to say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear were to say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Proclaim the wonders of the Lord. Let the people tremble. He is enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth shake. Proclaim the wonders of the Lord. The Lord is great in Zion. He is high above all peoples. Let them confess his name, which is great and awesome. He is the Holy One. Proclaim the wonders of the Almighty King, lover of justice, you have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Proclaim the greatness of the Lord our God and fall down before his footstool. He is the Holy One.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are a light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and in it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until it is all accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord, bless my words and touch all our hearts, that we may be open to your power and your inspiration. Amen. Have we ever been so self-conscious about ourselves as we seem to be these days? Websites are filled with advice on things to do with a self. How to find it, identify it, nurture it, protect it. There are dozens of best-selling books and blogs on self-awareness and self-help. You'd think to read about it that humans had only recently discovered the self. But some citizens of this self-conscious society have begun to realize the seedy side of this fixation on uniqueness. Uniqueness is wonderful, but when it's to the exclusion of others, it can be selfish, self-serving, and self-centered. There was once a place in a Greek city that came to crisis over this. It was the city of Corinth, and it was a particular problem at the local church. Members of the congregation scrapped with one another over who had the most going for them spiritually. Now, the Apostle Paul was the kind of person who tackled things head-on. So I'd like us to think about Paul's perspective on the self. There's a me, but there's also an us. Paul would say, we need the me, but not apart from the us. And the us, as Paul framed it in this letter to the Corinthians, is the body of Christ. You're the body of Christ, Paul said, and individually members of it. The me needs the us, and the us, for us, is the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 describes the body of Christ, this body, the church, by comparing it to a human body. And the gist of the passage is this: the body needs the various parts that are unique. Not only does the me need the us needs the me. The body needs these individual parts to serve specific roles so that the body can function as a whole. The finger can't tap the temple when the brain has a good idea unless the arm lifts the hand. And just so in the church, Paul implies. A parish wants a child to know and love Jesus. Well, how can that happen unless there's a chain of events where the child sees others, young and old, worshiping together, working together, cooperating together, gathering for worship, encouraging one another in the faith? To quote the Three Musketeers, it's all for one and one for all. Now, let me give you an example of how this should not work. I went to an escape room one day about 5 years ago. Some of you may have been to an escape room. I don't know if you all know what an escape room is, but it's a simulation in which a group of people is locked in a room and the individuals have to work together as a team in order to escape. Now, the people I went with did not work as a team. Despite being encouraged to work as a team, repeatedly being encouraged to work as a team, they still worked as individuals, and they didn't escape. It's been 5 years. That's a long time to be locked in a room. You'd hope that they'd have learned by now. But here's another example, and I hope that this one shows how it can work, or how it should work when people cooperate. Many years ago, when I was a child myself, I knew a little girl who had a health condition that affected her body's motor control. So several times a week, a group of women in that small town went to her house for what was called patterning. Now, I don't know if this was just a kind of a fad of the 60s. I don't know if it's still done. Maybe some of you know whether it worked or whether it still happens. But I remember going with my mother one day to watch it happen. The women all stood around this little girl where she lay on her tummy, face down on the kitchen table. And each person took a hold of a hand or a leg or her head and began to manipulate the various parts of her body in a repetitive pattern. It looked like she was swimming. And I suppose the hope was that her brain would get the message and she'd learn to control her own movements in the pattern that was instilled. Now, when I look at the various activities that go on in the life of a parish like St. James, I see a kind of a patterning that goes on here. We pray together, we learn together, we support each other. And the parish would continue to function even if some of these activities ceased to happen. But the church would be weakened. It would be weakened because its members had stopped working together as one body. And really, it's the cooperation and the interaction that is sometimes the most important thing. It's sometimes even more important than the task on which people are cooperating together in the first place. You see, it's the patterning that counts, the opportunity for us to function as the body of Christ, as Paul envisioned it, that's really essential. So you might even want to apply this principle to your own family. It's not essential for the members of a family to sit down for a meal together. After all, the main purpose of eating is to get food into your stomach. And you can do that either in a group or alone. But it is valuable for the members of a family to coordinate their schedules and sit down together. It gives them the opportunity to talk with each other, to test ideas in a safe place, to be reassured and encouraged by the people who love them and know them the best. At mealtime, a family has the God-given opportunity to pray together. Now, at my house, we all hold hands to pray. And for a brief, mysterious moment, a strange peace settles over otherwise battling brothers. But actually, I take that back, because the patterning, I think, has taken effect. Our boys get along much better than they used to, and that's my point. that there's a purpose higher than ingesting food that is served by time shared at the dinner table. It brings us together as a family and with an intentional pattern of prayer to lift one another up and enjoy a time of spiritual unity and intimacy. For us as Christians, it's when the various members of the body work together that the whole body, whether it's the church or the family, begins to function as it should. It's patterned to function as a whole. Now, when you think of the church or a family, maybe you cherish the image of a close-knit group of people, always getting along, sticking together through thick and thin. Well, give it a little time and you'll see that's not always the case. But it doesn't really matter, because in his letter to the Corinthians, Paul underlines the idea that every member of the body is needed. He says the parts of the body which seem to be weaker are indispensable. We can't get along without them. And that's true, whether it's in our local church or whether it's in our family. Often it's the people in a community who are the hardest to get along with who teach us the most about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Think of it as on-the-job training in how to love. It's easy to love lovable people, but not everyone is so lovable or obviously compatible. Nevertheless, as individual members within the body of Christ, we have a responsibility to those other individual members within the body of Christ. And I think it's amazing how Mutt and Jeff connections like these can be made. Here's an example from nature. It's the story of the acacia and the ant. The acacia is a kind of plant. In Central America, there are more than 90 species of acacias that have a built-in chemical defense system that keeps foraging creatures at bay. But one variety, called the swollen thorn acacia, has no such chemical defense system. Instead, it has ants. These ants and the plants, carve their nests in the large thorns. The ants dine on the rich nectar and the tasty proteins produced by the plant. And in exchange, anyone who comes around with a taste for acacia is driven away by the ants with a nasty itch to scratch. It's a relationship that works for both. So in this case, more than being selves, these creatures are what biologists would call specific others. Their lives are devoted to the common good, and by their philosophy of life, or what the biologists would call their symbiosis, each prospers and both prosper together. What St. Paul says can be true. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Because within the body of Christ, we are not only selves and a whole, but we are also specific others. Now, suppose a parish gets the basics all down pat. There's a spirit of cooperation among the members of the body. People's gifts and talents and skills are recognized and put to use for the common good. The weaker members are encouraged and supported. Well, what ultimately is the point? What's the point of all this? How does this spirit of cooperation and mutual encouragement that we experience and aspire for at St. James make any difference in the big picture of things? Well, the key to answering that question, I think, is to find out what motivates the church. What makes St. James do what St. James does? If it's to have a friendly experience on Sunday mornings, that will carry us so far. If it's to support good causes by giving away money, we will experience a degree of satisfaction. If it's to provide a morally enriching experience for our children, that's important too. But ultimately, I believe the cause that must motivate every member of this body is this: to experience and bring the love of Christ to the world. Not just to experience Christ's love on this side of the stained glass, but also to proclaim it, especially by our actions, using words if absolutely necessary. Now, outside of St. James Parish office, there's a bulletin board with a poster that proclaims the motto and the mission of St. James Westminster. It says, "Experiencing God, nurturing faith, empowering people." experiencing God, nurturing faith, empowering people. And I believe that the Christian's call is to be Christ out there in the movements of the world, to be Christ, the body of Christ. We are it. And since earliest times, maybe not using exactly the words on the poster, this has been the mission of the church. Christians have been like bees carrying God's pollinating love into every place they have set foot. Not always perfectly. But the ideal is that we are like bees carrying God's pollinating love into every place that we go, not stomping, but stepping softly, bringing justice and mercy and kindness. And this is how we change the world. That's what we're about. We're about changing the world for good. We may be friendly and support good causes and provide a moral environment for kids. These are all good things, but they're not enough. Our aim, our higher aim, is to be agents of Christ's love, a love that will take root and grow even in hostile environments if only we are determined enough to plant and nurture it. As I've said before, and as our Sunday announcement leaflet urges us, we are meant to be ambassadors, ambassadors of love. And we're reminded by this morning's reading from Matthew's Gospel that we are meant to be the light of the world, like a city set on a hill that shines forth and that cannot be hidden. And look, if it feels like too much to be that light, then just be a mirror reflecting God's love into the world. But until this is our conscious aim, I would suggest we're a little puffed up to call ourselves the body of Christ. And the reason I've been asking you to reflect on the church and its mission this morning is because we're going to be meeting today for our annual vestry meeting. It's an opportunity now for us to think about our highest aspirations that are reflected in that decision-making meeting in just an hour or so. And here's the thing. And this is where the grace is found. Even if we are not all we want to be, as a parish, as the church, as families, or as individuals, we should thank God anyway. We should look to God in trust, because God has the power to close the gap between who we are and who we want to be. That's grace. Because ours is a God of healing, who carries our broken body to strength when we don't have the strength by the power of our risen Lord. Amen. Let us stand and profess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Would you assume a position that's comfortable for prayer?
The response to the prayers set our hearts on fire. Let us pray to the God who has drawn us here today, who loves us and loves our world. We pray that there may be a revival of longing for your kingdom to come and a renewed commitment to working for it, for a desire to live out our faith and worship in our daily lives this week. Come, Holy Spirit, set our hearts on fire. We pray that all who have authority and power in our nation and our world may use it for good, upholding and instituting what is right and fair, and listening to the needs of those they represent. May we recognize our responsibility to support and stand up for God's values. Come, Holy Spirit.
Set our hearts on fire.
We pray that within our homes and communities, there may be a new awareness of one another's gifts and needs, more sensitivity and respect in our relationships. May we reverence one another as fellow beings born of your creative love. Come, Holy Spirit. We pray for all who are oppressed, downtrodden, or despised. We pray for those who will not eat today and all who live in degrading circumstances of poverty and powerlessness. We pray for a heart to put injustices right and strive for a fair sharing of resources. Come, Holy Spirit.
Set our hearts on fire.
We pray especially for those in our church family, Patrick Conboy, Sylvia Brightwell, David Buckridge, Marilyn Austin, Anna Woodson, Emerson Muir, Eunice Smith, Rick Rita Rich, Al McMillan, Abby Woodson, Monica, Maureen Sisland Knapp, Harold Ford, and we pray especially for our selection committee. We pray for those whose life expectancy is short, for the babies and children who have died while we have been praying, for all who have come to the end of their earthly life and made that last journey through death. Thank you for your welcoming mercy and the promise of eternal life. Come, Holy Spirit.
Set our hearts on fire.
Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand. May the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us greet one another with a sign of Christ's peace.
Set their hearts. today. God is nigh, in him there is no darkness. Let us walk in his light, his children one and all. O comfort my people, make gentle your words. O claim to my city,
God of compassion and forgiveness, receive our offering this day and make us one with him who is our peace, Jesus Christ, our Savior.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right. Give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right that we should praise you, gracious God, for you created all things. You formed us in your own image, male and female, you created us. When we turned away from you in sin, you did not cease to care for us, but opened a path of salvation for all people. You made a covenant with Israel, and through your servants Abraham and Sarah, gave the promise of a blessing to all nations. Through Moses you led your people from bondage into freedom. Through the prophets you renewed your promise of salvation. Therefore with them, and with all your saints who have served you in every age, we give thanks and raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name.
Holy God, source of life and goodness, all creation rightly gives you praise. In the fullness of time, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He healed the sick and ate and drank with outcasts and sinners. He opened the eyes of the blind and proclaimed the good news of your kingdom to the poor and to those in need. In all things, he fulfilled your gracious will. On the night he freely gave himself to death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Gracious God, his perfect sacrifice destroys the power of sin and death. By raising him to life, you give us life forevermore. Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Recalling his death, proclaiming his resurrection, and looking for his coming again in glory, we offer you, Father, this bread and this cup. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts, that all who eat and drink at this table may be one body and one holy people, a living sacrifice in Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. As our Savior taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We break the bread of life, and that life is the light of the world. God here among us, light in the midst of us, bring us to light and life. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Still point of the sun.
the still point of the circle, round to whole creation turns. Nothing lost but held forever in God's gracious arms. Draw the circle wide, draw it wider still. Let this be our song, no one stands alone, standing side by side. Draw the circle
Eternal God, in you we find peace beyond all telling. May we who share in this heavenly banquet be instruments of your peace on earth, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. May our Lord Jesus, who walks on wounded feet, walk with you to the end of your path. May our Lord Jesus, who serves with wounded hands, help you to serve one another. May our Lord Jesus, who loves with a wounded heart, be your love now and always. Bless God wherever you go, and may you see the face of Christ in everyone you meet. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen.
Let it shine.
Go forth into the world and let your light shine.
Thanks be to God.
Lifted up again by the Lord. No matter where I roam, I will find my way back home. I will always return to the Lord. In the gentle evening breeze, by the whispering shady tree, I saw.